Well, good morning, Bob. Everybody, this is Bob McCormick. Bob's a neighbor and friend of many folks in the congregation. In fact, those folks in our congregation who know him first introduced us to him through prayer. During our prayer time, every once in a while, we'd see a hand pop up and they'd say, "My friend Bob is walking from Denver to Washington, D.C. to raise awareness for intergenerational justice. Could we pray for him?" And so, Bob, we've been praying for you. And I want to ask a quick question that we've been thinking about this entire time we've been praying for you. Why did you do this?
Thank you. Thank you again for having me and also for inviting me to speak at the garage on Wednesday. I walked because 10 years ago I read a book. It was called The Handbook of Intergenerational Justice. And it's been part of my thinking for last 10 years. I was going to talk at the garage, as a matter of fact, and instead I decided that perhaps I could promote intergenerational justice more effectively by walking instead of just talking locally, although I do plan to continue talking about intergenerational justice. My wife reminded me between these being up here for the earlier service was that most people don't know about intergenerational justice, and it's true. From the time that I read that handbook until the time till today, I've yet to run into anyone who has ever heard the phrase intergenerational justice before I brought it up. And on my wife's prompting, intergenerational justice for me is an acceptance of the responsibility that current humans have for all future humans. The numbers are astounding when you think of all that could follow us if we play our cards right. So it's about fairness, and that's what intergenerational justice is. It's not complicated. It's just, do we have a responsibility to future humans?
So you get stirred by this idea, and if I remember correctly, with 10 days notice, you decide, 10 days, he's like, "I'm going to walk from Denver to D.C.
That's correct.
And you do this.
That's
phenomenal.
Correct. Yeah. Well, if you feel passionately about something, you have a few choices. One, if you're very wealthy, mm-hmm. you could take out a full-page ad in the Washington Post or the Denver Post and just say intergenerational justice and talk about it. Don't have that option. Another one is if you're famous. If you're famous, grab a microphone and everybody listens to you. Well, they don't have that option either. So what options do you have if you feel passionate about something? And to me, one of them was take a long walk.
Now, on this long walk, today we're going to be talking about creating space to experience things. This is, you had a lot of space, and you experienced a lot of things amidst all of them. Did you notice any themes? Are there a few themes that you noticed throughout this journey that you might share with us?
Yes. There were three things that stood out. Not so much in the beginning when I was walking. It's sort of like every day things start to pile up. Probably the first thing is that we live in a beautiful country. And I'm sure everyone here knows that we live in Colorado. But walking, it gives you a different feel. And, people say, well, Kansas, that's not so pretty. It's really flat. Kansas is beautiful. If what you're looking for is big sky, big clouds, beautiful landscape, it's all farming. But I found it to be beautiful, and it continued on the whole way. The second thing that struck me was the kindness of U.S. citizens, or the people at least that I ran into. And that, probably I've got 200 or 300 pictures of people who, and I didn't catch them all because sometimes I'd be walking and somebody would come over quickly and hand me a bag of apples or something and say, "Hey, good luck, I saw your sign," but the kindness was overwhelming. There wasn't a day that I put my head down at night that there wasn't something that occurred from the time that I got up that morning that was just an act of kindness that came out of nowhere as far as I was concerned. I'm walking. They were all strangers. One of the things I really missed is there's a number of people in this room that are friends of mine, and I met lovely people. But the conversation was rather quick and short. Here, take this. Thank you very much. What's intergenerational justice? And then on they went. So it's nice to be back with friends and to be there. The third thing I noticed is that we have an awful lot of citizens that are really, really poor. People say you have to go into third world countries to find poverty. That's not true. there's poverty here, and you can tell it's intergenerational poverty. It's not just this generation. When you walk through at 2.5 miles an hour, you spend a lot of time going through neighborhoods. And I'm here to say that the poverty, the extent of poverty in this country caught me off guard. So that was one.
Now, the beauty, the poverty, the kindness. You have not only stories, but also some photos to go along with all of these things. And that's something that we'll be able to experience on Wednesday.
I have a slideshow.
So I invite you to join us on Wednesday at 7 to hear a bit more about this. You want to talk about a unique life experience. This is one, and it's one of the stories that exists in our community with one of our neighbors. And Bob, thank you for being our neighbor and for sharing these stories with us.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Silence. It's not the first word people think of when they think of me. Unless someone happens to be asked, what are some opposites to Brad? But today's conversation is about God showing up in the silence. And just because silence is not my natural state of being doesn't mean it's something I get to skip over just because I'm usually uncomfortable with it. We've been having this ongoing conversation about the many ways and places that God shows up. God shows up when we look. God shows up in community. God shows up when we don't expect it. God shows up in our service. God shows up in difficult times. And today we will be reminded that God shows up in silence. Now, being that silence is not my natural state of being, I knew that I would need to put some extra effort into my preparations, right? I would need to try to experience it, to talk about it. So I figured I had a plan for silence. I was going to find a secluded location where I couldn't be interrupted. And then I'd bring my Bible and a notepad and maybe a candle, right? Because when I think of silence, I think of like a candle and sitting alone. And okay, that's what I'm going to do. And that's how I'm going to experience silence to prepare for this Sunday. Well, my week started with a 12-hour workday at the Capitol, followed by heading down to the Iliff School of Theology, got back to the house, and then I transitioned straight from a 12-hour workday into 2 days of food poisoning. And then, once I was well enough, and enough is in air quotes, I had to catch up on the work that I missed for those couple of days, while also at the same time doing the regular weekday church stuff, but also preparing for a wedding that I had to do on Friday and a funeral that I had to do on Saturday. And then, as it turned out, spending a lot of time on phone calls and emails with the state licensing board, the city inspectors, the fire chief, the city building manager, as we seek to double the size of our preschool during these emergency conditions for our neighbors. I don't know if you know this. I also have a family, too. I'm grateful in the midst of all of it, my week did get to include a movie date with my son, going to a friend's birthday party with my wife, and what I will openly admit was a very poor attempt at managing to help with any tasks at home. I'm pretty sure I still have laundry in the wash that needs to get transferred. But needless to say, there was not a silent moment in my entire conscious week. And then, come to find out yesterday, Megan tells me I've been talking in my sleep, so it turns out my unconscious moments haven't been silent either. But perhaps this is a more authentic place to begin this conversation. I mean, because though the details vary, right, our calendars look different, too many of us have days that transition from thing to thing to thing, from conversations to activities to projects to meetings to managing things at home to eventually just falling over at the end of the day. I'm inviting us to find, create, or become aware of silence. And as I do so, I do knowing that it's not an easy task. Even for those whose lives might have a lot of quiet in them. Not so busy anymore. Maybe not as many things happening. Intentional silence is different than life just being quiet. And so for a touchstone, I begin this time with the words of God spoken through the Psalms. Psalm 46 offers these beautiful and powerful words. Be still and know that I am here. Be still and know. I mean, this verse is basically the sermon title in reverse. We're saying God shows up in the silence, and the scripture is saying, be silent, and you'll find out that God is there. Now, like any means of connecting with the divine, we must remember God is not on demand, as much as our culture has conditioned us to think so many things are. We can't just get quiet and then assume, oh, see, I did it, God should be here, right? We can't expect that if we experience silence, God will automatically show up every time. Instead, I invite you to think of silence more like a bird feeder. I've got a grandma who just had lots of bird feeders. Oh, so many of them across the back. And I said, when I was young, I would love to sit there and see. The thing about bird feeders is when you put up a bird feeder, you are creating a space that facilitates an appearance. It facilitates an appearance, but it does not command it. You can sit and look, and there will be no birds sometimes at the feeder. Now, that doesn't mean that birds do not exist. It just means that you and the birds did not arrive at the feeder at the same time. But the likelihood of being in the same place at the same time without a feeder is drastically small. This is what I would learn sitting there waiting. Grandma, where are the birds? Yeah, you have to wait for them. Sometimes you'll look and they just won't be there. But other times you will look and they will. This conversation about looking and being present is important. There are, as we mentioned, other ways to experience the divine, and especially for those of us who are usually not comfortable in silence. You know what? That's great that some people experience God that way. I've got these other ones. I'm going to skip the whole silence thing. That runs through my head occasionally. But we can't. We can't. There are aspects of the divine. There are parts of God's essence that can only be experienced in silence. The thing about being human is we can never fully experience the infinite presence of God. We cannot know all of God, especially at one time. And so all these different means, all these different ways of experiencing how God shows up offer us different experiences of parts of all that God is. And so in the silence, we experience God in a way we cannot any other way. In the silence, we encounter a spiritual intimacy with the divine. Being silent with others, intentionally silent together, is not a casual practice. I remember I was at a brunch with one of my very dear mentors and two of my colleagues. The three of us just adored this person who was a dear mentor to each of us. And at some point during our brunch, our conversation reached a pause, and no one said anything to start a new conversation. And since we were on this patio at a restaurant in a secluded corner, there was nothing to interrupt us. We sat there in silence for nearly 5 minutes. This is not normal for me. We sat there just looking at each other. We weren't looking past each other. We weren't looking around at things. We'd finished our meals. We weren't just quietly eating. And we weren't on our phones. We just were there together. Be still and know. What I came to realize is I didn't have anything to say that was worth more than what we were experiencing. We sat in the presence of one another. And when a waiter did walk up and shift us from that moment of quiet stillness, our mentor looked at the three of us and said, I'm glad we have a relationship where we can just be with one another in silence. I don't have a lot of those. I'd never thought of it. Thought of measuring the quality of a relationship by thinking, this is a person I could sit quietly with and be happy. He was right. You know, Mother Teresa was once interviewed about her prayers. And a reporter asked her, what do you say when you talk to, when you pray? She said, oh, I don't say anything. I just listen. So the reporter reframed his question. Oh, okay, let me follow up then. What does God say when you pray? She said, oh, God doesn't say anything. God just listens. I long to know God well enough that I could be comfortable just sitting together, listening to one another. saying nothing. But it takes time and practice to be still and know. I mean, you don't sit comfortably in silence with someone for great lengths of time when you first meet them. Notice the word comfortably there. I've sat silently with a few people, and let me tell you, no, not so much. Hey, nice to meet you. Okay. What we find in relationship is that it takes small moments of silence that we might become comfortable with the small piece, that then it can lead to longer ones, and we can grow and grow into these other moments as they become longer and longer. This whole idea of silence and being is something I have been working on for a very long time with actually a lot of professional help. One of my professors in seminary, I was sitting and we were going over some of the results of my developmental work, and she encouraged me. She said, I think you need to worry less about doing and spend some more of your time just being. Okay, not so much doing, more being. And so I responded very quickly, well, how do I do that? Okay, Brad, you've missed the point. No, it's not what you do. I was just dumbfounded by this concept. Well, how do I do being was the only thing I could ask. Fast forward 15 years to just last week as I was sitting with my counselor for one of our regular conversations and revisiting this piece of my history, I said and looked at him and I said, I'm still wondering, how am I supposed to just be? Like, what is that? No, this time I said, what is it, not how do I do it? Do you see? I didn't learn how to be yet, but I've learned not to ask how you do it. What is it? What is this just being thing? And he offered me a word of advice. He said, Brad, I want you to think of it as moments of existing, moments of awareness. That's what I want. I want you to experience existing and awareness. Okay, well, should I like block out an hour to do so? What do I need to do with this? And he offered what I'm going to call a polite chuckle at my suggestion of blocking out an hour for such an activity. And he suggested I start with 1 minute. Now, here's the thing. Anybody want to ask me if I've been able to or have made the effort to set aside a single minute since that conversation? I think the minute of silence during our prayer time might have been my first. In fact, that's why we have that minute each and every week. But that minute during prayer is not going to be our last one today. So I'm going to invite you to get comfortable. Now listen, we all know this room is not going to be silent, but this offers us a moment of realization. Our scripture does not ask us to silence the world. It asks us to be still amidst it. Okay? So some kid's going to make noise. Somebody's going to cough. Someone's phone might go off. Who knows? And that's okay. All I'm asking is that you might be still. I don't know, some of you might leave your eyes open. Some of you might close them. You could focus on a word or a phrase. Maybe you envision a place or a person. If thoughts creep in, I invite you to think of them like clouds passing by, or perhaps as if you were sitting on a park bench and a couple having a conversation starts walking by and it gets a little bit louder and more present and then they just continue going. And for a moment it feels as if you're a part of it, but you let it go. We're going to take 2 minutes to exist and be aware and create space for the divine to be present. And when we finish, I'll close us with a gentle amen. Amen.